Welcome to Prophecy Countdown with author and pastor Kenneth Bear. Join us every week for the latest updates on what the Bible has to say about the events, the characters, and prophetic signs of the return of Jesus Christ and His coming kingdom. Make sure you not only subscribe, but like your favorite episodes and share it with your friends. Now, on with the broadcast.
Welcome to Prophecy Countdown. We provide two podcasts each week on this channel called Prophecy Countdown. Now, on Sundays, our messages premiere at 1 p.m., and on Wednesdays at 11 a.m. The title of my message today is number 378, Will Everyone Hear the Gospel Before Jesus Returns? I'm sure that would be an interesting conversation. Now, as the name of our podcast implies, our updates always have a prophecy thread. We love answering questions related, particularly related to prophecy. If you have a question about Jesus, about the Bible, about anything about theology, send us an email at prophecycountdownpodcast@gmail.com. That's prophecycountdownpodcast@gmail.com. I respond to all of those emails myself, and that's actually how we get the topics for our Wednesday updates like today's. So today we have an interesting question that we were happy to receive, and before I could even get to this, get this question into the queue, I heard two people independently mention the same type of comment as well. This question about hearing the gospel, everyone hearing the gospel before Jesus returns, actually comes from a statement that Jesus made in the Olivet Discourse. And because it's a statement that Jesus made, of course, the answer is yes. Jesus said it, I believe it, and that settles it. We can all go home. But actually, it's really more of a two-part question, not really a trick question, but it definitely requires some explanation. So let me read the verse or the section of scripture that this verse and this question comes from, and then we'll unpack it. The scripture comes from what we know as the Olivet Discourse. I'll be quoting from Matthew chapter 24. This address, this Olivet Discourse, is actually found in all three of the Synoptic Gospels. It's in Matthew 24, Mark 13, and also Luke chapter 21. Jesus gave this well-known set of instructions early on Passion Week, possibly Monday afternoon of the week that Jesus is going to be crucified. That week started on Palm Sunday and culminated with the crucifixion, actually the end of the week Jesus is in the tomb. It's the longest discourse recorded in the Gospels, the longest topic that Jesus addressed, and it's really the go-to text to learning about the end times, about the tribulation, about the second coming, and all of the events that precede it and happen during it, outside, of course, of the book of Revelation. So let me go ahead and read a portion of scripture. It's about 14 verses, but we'll get through it pretty quickly. Matthew chapter 24, beginning in verse 4. And Jesus answered and said to them, "Take heed that no one deceives you. For many will come in my name, saying, 'I am the Christ,' and will deceive many. And you will hear of wars and rumors of wars. See that you are not troubled, for all these things must come to pass. But the end is not yet. For nation will rise against nation and kingdom against kingdom. There will be famines, pestilences, and there will be earthquakes in various places. All of these things are the beginning of sorrows. Then they will deliver you up to tribulation and kill you, and you will be hated by all nations for my namesake. And then many will be offended and betray one another and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many, and because of the lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. But he who endures to the end will be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all of the world as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come." So our topic today is coming from this very last verse, verse 14, where Jesus tells us that the gospel will be preached in all the world, and then the end will come. So let's start off with the context The context is always key, my friends. Let's take a look at the context of this talk by Jesus. Jesus is actually answering a question put to him by the disciples about the end of the age. Jesus had just remarked about the temple and how the temple in Jerusalem would be torn down and not one stone would be left on top of another. So the disciples wait until they reach the Mount of Olives, where Jesus was obviously heading. And then they ask Jesus a three-part question. And the three parts are this, is when will these things happen? What would be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? Now, it's likely, and I've said this before, that the disciples didn't think their question was in three parts. They likely thought that the destruction of the temple meant that Jesus would return and it would be the end of the age, a signal for the resurrection of the dead. So we'll look at the topic for today, which is Jesus saying that the gospel of the kingdom would be preached to the entire world, and I love this, as a witness to all nations, and then the end will come. That's an amazing promise, isn't it? It really is. So it's likely from my perspective that Jesus is actually referring to his coming, which is really not the end, but the beginning of the end, as the Bible teaches that Jesus will return to the Mount of Olives, and he will reign for 1,000 years from Jerusalem. This will be a true theocracy, with Jesus serving as both priest and king. Now, if we look at the verses, and this is why I started at verse 4, not just 14, Jesus is pretty clearly talking about the tribulation period. He began 7 years before with what the gospel calls birth pains. Birth pains. Birth pains are forerunners. They're harbingers of the actual difficulties of the tribulation. Now, before I answer the question, and again, it's not a simple yes or no, let me go back to how Jesus started this discourse. Remember, he was answering a three-part question. When will these things be? What would be the sign of your coming and the end of the age? And what does he start off with? What is the very first thing that Jesus says? He says, "Take heed that no one deceives you." Now, if you read nothing more in the Olivet Discourse, you should pay close attention to Jesus' words, the very first thing he said, because based on what he said, you should know that we are getting very close to the end of the age. We live in a world today that far above any other age is full of deception. And of course, deception actually goes way back. It goes all the way back to Adam and Eve, who chose to be deceived by the serpent rather than believe what God had said. The Apostle Paul told his young apprentice, Timothy, something about deception in the end times as well. Again, it's a rather lengthy piece of scripture. I don't usually read this long, but it's so pertinent for today. 2 Timothy chapter 3, beginning in verse 1, the Apostle Paul says this. He says, "But know this, that in the last days, perilous times will come. Men will be lovers of themselves, lovers of money, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, unloving, unforgiving, slanderers, without self-control, brutal, despisers of good, traitors, headstrong, haughty, lovers of pleasure rather than lovers of God, having a form of godliness but denying its power. And from such people, stay away." Stay away. You know, in the Message Bible, it says, "Stay clear of these people." In the NIV, this verse 5 says, "Have nothing to do with such people." Do you find that odd? Well, you should. I mean, the Bible, why would the Bible tell us to stay clear, to avoid them, to have nothing to do with them? Aren't we supposed to be witnessing to people? Aren't we supposed to be carrying out the Great Commission with gentleness and respect? Yes. And as Peter says, we should always be ready to give a reason for the hope that's within us. But Paul here, I believe, is talking specifically about the end days. And the issue, of course, is deception. Both Jesus and Paul is reminding us that we could be deceived, and above all else, do not be deceived. This is what Jesus is telling us. You know, deception is all around us, my friends. And if you are unfamiliar with that term, maybe you're familiar with this term fake news. You know, fake news was only coined maybe in the last 10, 15 years. But it's obvious that today we can no longer trust the news media. We can no longer trust the government. We can't trust our politicians as if we ever could. We can't trust our institutions, whether it's the medical community, our educational institutions, or unfortunately even our church denominations. But here's the good news. Who can we trust? Well, we can trust Jesus. And Jesus said he is coming back. And that time is coming very quickly. So let's get to the question. Jesus said the gospel will be preached to the whole world first. Well, that is true. Before Jesus returns to the earth in his second coming, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to the nations. But, and here's the second part, this does not apply to an event that happens 7 years prior, 7 years plus prior, and that is the rapture of the church. You know, there is nothing that is required to happen before Jesus returns for his bride. Jesus made that very clear. There's a number of parables that talk about that. The Apostle Paul actually thought that the rapture, the catching away, Jesus returning, we read about that in 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and 1 Corinthians chapter 15. Paul thought it could happen in his lifetime. This is why Jesus clearly said that no one knows the day or the hour. Jesus will come suddenly without warning. I likely don't think it's going to happen during an eclipse. That's way too theatrical for God. However, the rapture, after the rapture and during the tribulation, there will be three different opportunities for people to hear the gospel. Now, I don't like talking about second chances to hear the gospel during the tribulation. My friends, today is the day of salvation. We need to have our families, our friends, our neighbors, those people around us need to understand who Jesus Christ is and to believe that God sent him, that he died on the cross for their sins, and that he's coming back again, that he will forgive your sins, but you need to come to Jesus and repent. Now, speaking of second chances, however, there are three opportunities during the tribulation periods, three waves of people that Jesus sends out. In Revelation chapter 7, tells us that God will seal 144,000 young men, 12,000 each from the 12 tribes of Israel, and they are on a mission from God. Scholars believe that they will be an effective witness for Jesus Christ. I actually describe it in my book as if there were 144,000 Billy Grahams set loose on the world to preach the everlasting gospel. We see them, by the way, in chapter 14, standing on Mount Zion with the Lamb of God. And these are the ones that have been redeemed from the earth, and their ministry is over. Now, in Revelation chapter 11, we are introduced to another group. These are two witnesses that preach on the streets of Jerusalem. Many scholars believe that they will be commissioned for 3.5 years, likely at the beginning of the tribulation, to give people an opportunity to understand the gospel. Now, after 3.5 years, they are killed, only to be resurrected by God, and then 3.5 days later, and they ascend into heaven. Now, finally, remember I said there were three groups. But then verse 6 in chapter 14 says this. It says, "Then I saw another angel flying in midair, and he had," here we go, "the eternal gospel to proclaim to those who live on the earth, to every nation, tribe, language, and people. He said in a loud voice, 'Fear God and give him glory, because the hour of his judgment has come. Worship him who has made the heavens, the earth, and the sea, and the springs of water.'" You see, based on this verse and the timing of it, which is chapter 14 in the book of Revelation, I believe that this is what Jesus was specifically referencing when he said that the gospel will be preached to the entire world before the end. The gospel will be preached to all the world, proclaiming the eternal gospel to those that live on the earth, that dwell on the earth. This is after the rapture of the church and during the tribulation. The Bible says the angel will be heard by every nation, tribe, language, and people. In this way, Jesus' words that the gospel would be preached to the entire world before the end will be fulfilled. So that's a great question. Thank you so much for asking the question and sending it in. By the way, I hope you enjoyed that answer. Keep sending in these questions to prophecycountdownpodcast@gmail.com. Now, be sure to share these videos and podcasts with your friends. That's how the word gets out about Prophecy Countdown. So we'll see you soon. We'll be on every Sunday and every Wednesday. Let's pray. So, Father God, we want to thank you, Lord, for this opportunity to answer this question. We give you the praise for the everlasting gospel that will be preached to every tribe, every nation, every people, and every tongue before the Lord returns. In Jesus' name.
Nearly every day, it's common to see, read, or hear something about the end of the world, the apocalypse, or end times. Author and pastor Kenneth Bear's The Apocalypse and Coming Kingdom zooms in and breaks down biblical prophecy as it relates to Jesus' imminent return and the coming seven-year period, including the Great Tribulation. Available in both paperback and Kindle versions. Get your copy on Amazon or at Barnes & Noble and select Christian bookstores. The title again is The Apocalypse and Coming Kingdom. You can also find it listed by author Kenneth Bear. Get your copy today. Thank you for joining us on Prophecy Countdown with Pastor Ken Bear. Don't leave without first sharing the latest episode with your friends. Be sure to join us again for the latest updates on Prophecy Countdown.